Hey, Bridge family, Celine here, and man, I'm so excited today that I just get the opportunity to be able to share my story, my journey with my father, and I get to share it with you guys. And first, before we start, I just want to say Happy Father's Day to all the awesome dads out there. I am so excited that I get to be in the dad club. Man, my wife and I and Danielle, we have a one-year-old son, Emery, who is awesome and we love. And in October, we are expecting our second son, which we're really excited about. We're going to be naming him Benjamin. And man, I love being a dad. I'm excited for our second son to come. I love our first son, and I want many more children in my life. I don't know about my wife, but I definitely want a lot. But anyways, I'm going to get started. I'm just so thankful that I get to be here this Sunday morning and get to share my story, my journey when it comes to having my life with my father, you know. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be real this morning. And I hope that also it can encourage you as well this morning. So I'm going to just start off. I grew up in the LA area. I grew up a single mom. My mom, Robin. I also grew up with my grandma, Irene. And in my childhood, I would say my childhood was fun. It had its challenges. But the biggest challenge was that my dad was not around. It was rough. It was hard not having my dad in my life. And I could never really understand why. I couldn't understand why he wasn't around for me. I couldn't understand why he was making the decisions that he was making. And so, but I want to give you guys a little bit of background and some little backstory onto my mom and dad and their relationship. So according to my dad, this is what I've heard from my dad. The way that my mom and dad met is really interesting. According to my father, he was running for his life. Down the street, he was being shot at by other gang members, and he was running with a buddy of him. They were just running down the street, running for their life, and all of a sudden, a car pulled up and was like, jump in the car, jump in, and they jumped in, and all of a sudden, the car sped off into the sunset and everything, and he says that my mom was the one driving the car, and that's how they met. That's according to my dad. When I've talked to my mom, her story's a little bit different, but I actually like my dad's version a lot more. Kind of makes it my mom look like a hero and pretty cool. So that's how they met. That's according to my dad. And about a year later, they're married. And about a year later from them being married, I was born. And right when I was born, they got divorced quickly, right after me. And, I used to think that had to do with me. Maybe when I came around, I was just too much and that was it. But learning and finding out the truth later that, you know, my mom and dad were having a really rough time. Unfortunately, you know, in their first year of marriage, they had to deal with a death of my sister, Selena, who was born with some birth defects, and sadly, she passed away, and that really put a strain on their marriage. If you probably can tell, I'm named after my sister, Celine, and her name was Selena, and so that really put a strain on their relationship. You know, my mom actually, at the time, fell in love with Jesus and started going to church. And my dad just kind of went the opposite way. My dad was starting to get even more heavily into his situation with when it came to gangs, and also just even more with drugs, and he became abusive. And he just one day they got a divorce, and I didn't see my dad. You know, I didn't see my dad for a while, and it hurt. It was not cool. But growing up, you know, without my father, you know, I still had some awesome things happen in my life. You know, the world says that when you don't grow up a father, especially me, you know, being half black in Guatemalan and growing up in the area that I grew up, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there that says that I'm going to end up this way. You know, the world says that I'm more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. I'm more likely to commit a crime. I'm more likely to go to prison, and I'm 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, and I'm 7 times more likely to get a girl pregnant as a teen. But I'm thankful that God says that he's a father to the fatherless, and that he had a plan for my life, and that even though my dad wasn't around, I had God. I had God who's going to be providing for me, who's going to give me strength, who's going to give me comfort, and who's going to give me peace and love. And, you know, I love this Bible verse. I know it totally gets overset a lot, but I just love it. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I really hold on to that because, you know, like I said, the world, because of my situation, said that I was going to end up one way. But God, being my father, was like, no. I have a plan for you. I have something for you. And I just want to encourage anyone out there who's maybe feeling like whatever situation they could be in right now. I just want to say that, you know, God has a plan for your life and he loves you and he's there for you. But anyways, going back to my story. So I was growing up, I was blessed. My mom, she worked at a church, and I grew up going to this church. And because I grew up in that church, God really put a lot of father figures in my life. He put a lot of big brothers in my life that were there for me, that were just really helpful and just guiding me, and, you know, and I'm really thankful for that. And so I grew up in the church. I grew up, my dad, like I said, my dad just wasn't around. And just to give you a little, kind of a little history on that, you know, I remember getting a phone call when I was, more my mom getting the phone call when I was young. And I remember getting her telling me, "Hey, your dad's in prison, you know, again, you know," and I remember that, having that phone call happen a lot. You know, I remember hearing stories from other family members of some of the things that my dad was up to, and it just really hurt me, you know. And so I was just growing up, I didn't really see much of him. The little times I did see of him, I have to admit, like, they were pretty decent, you know. I remember as a kid, he would take me horseback riding. He'd teach me about nature and outdoors. And him and I would go see movies. But pretty much most of my life, my dad and I just, we didn't have a relationship. And I was really hurt. You know, I was hurt that, you know, growing up, I hear the stories about him being abusive towards my mom and some of the other things. And it just hurt. And so I built this anger and I built this resentment to my father just for the way he treated my mom. Even the way he like treated me. So anyways, I grew up without my dad, you know, and like I said, that was rough. I went through a lot of stuff. I wish my dad was there for a lot of the things that I had to go through, you know, especially in the area that I grew up in, and some of the things I got involved in. I just wish I had my dad. Like I said, I grew up without him, and now I grew up, I'm like a young adult at the time, 24 years old, and my life with at the time was just great. I was walking with the Lord. You know, I was working at a church. I was part of a great Christian community at the church I was at. You know, and I was in a band, and we were doing great. And just things were really good in my life at 24. You know, I mean, I had a good childhood. Teenage years were rough. I mean, even my early 20s were pretty rough. But you know, at this time in my life, things were great. One of the cool things was, like, I felt like I finally was accepting the calling that God had on my life, which was ministry. You know, for a long time, I was running from it because I didn't want to do that. But I finally was like, all right, Lord, you know what? You're calling me to ministry. I'm going to do this. Point me whatever way, and I'm going to go. And so the Lord was like, all right, let's do this. Let's get you going. Let's get you going into ministry. And I was like, all right, cool. And so I remember one day I was walking to my local Starbucks, I went and got a cup of coffee, and I was sitting down, and I very clearly heard just the Lord say to me, "Man, are you ready? Are you ready to go where I'm calling you?" And I was like, "Oh snap! Here it comes! God is about to tell me where I'm going. Oh man, I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to live in some like crazy part of the world. I'm going to be able to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to be able to fight injustice." And I was super excited. And I'm like, "God, tell me where you're sending me. I'm ready to go." And all of a sudden he said, "Awesome. I want you to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico and live with your father." And I was like, "Whoa, wait a second. I might have misheard you. God, were you saying go to Africa? And I don't know, maybe my new spiritual father would be there?" And very quickly, the Lord was like, "No, I want you to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I want you to build a relationship with your dad." And I was like, what the heck? This is not what I was expecting. This is not what I thought God had for me at that time. And I was like, I don't know if I could do that, Lord. I'm pretty sure I can't do that. And it was hard. It was rough. You know, give you a quick little background about when I was 19, 20, you know, my dad and I had a phone conversation on the phone, and he had told me that he was moving to New Mexico. You know, he got remarried. He had some kids, and he told me he was moving there. And I was like, great, cool, awesome. And at the time, I thought I had forgiven him. I thought I had forgiven him for everything that had happened. But I, you know, I was cool. I was like, yeah, you do your thing and I'm going to do my thing. And it's all good. I'm not going to talk bad about you or anything like that. You know, you just live your life and I'm going to live my life. And so to go back, when the Lord was telling me, man, I want you to move to New Mexico, I was like, God, I can do anything. I could do anything but that. Please, 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 please call me to anything else but that. And the Lord was like, no, this is what I'm calling you to do. I need you to be obedient. And I was like, all right, well, I'm good. I'm good, God. And for the next couple months, I had this thing on me where I was like, God, I will do anything else but that. So I know it's kind of funny. I was, the Lord, a couple months went by and I was in a tattoo shop getting tattooed on my arm. And I remember I was getting a Bible verse tattooed on me. And I, you know, because I was that cool, you know, Christian guy who got Bible verses tattooed on him. I was getting this tattoo on me. And once again, God was speaking to me. And he said something to me that completely rocked me. And he was like, more than proclaiming me, more than proclaiming God on my skin with ink, I want you to do it in action. And I was blown away by that. I was like, what? I was like, oh, it hit me so hard that God was like, look, that's cool that you put tattoos all over you representing me, but I want you to represent me in action. I want you to represent me in obedience. And I was like, all right, God, I guess I'm moving to New Mexico. I guess this is what you're calling me to do. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And I realized something real quick. Man, I need to deny myself, pick up my cross, and move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where my dad was. So I realized real quick what I needed to do. I got on the phone. I called my dad. I had to find my dad's phone number. I had to call, I think, other people to see if they had my dad's number. And I made a phone call. And I was like, hey, Dad, it's Celine. I think I want to move out to New Mexico with you. What do you think about that? And he was like, well, I don't know. I mean, that'd be kind of, and I was like, yeah, I know it'd be weird. And my dad was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And then through just more conversation, my dad's like hesitation went from excitement. And he was like, yeah, why don't you come out here? Why don't you move out here? And I was like, all right, let's do this. And about a month after the Lord had spoke to me again about moving out to New Mexico, I was driving on my way to Santa Fe, New Mexico with a couple buddies. And we were driving on our way over there, and I was leaving everything behind. I was leaving my comfort zone. I was leaving my family, my friends, my band. I left everything behind to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and live with my father. And it was an experience. You know, I lived with my dad for about 6 months in New Mexico, and it was genuinely an experience. You know, during that time, I got to see my dad in a different way. You know, I had mentioned earlier that my dad remarried, had more kids. And I just, the man that I was in front of every day while I was in New Mexico was just a little bit different than the man that I grew up and knew. And also the man that I heard so many stories about. And I was looking forward to getting to know my dad, you know. So I'm in New Mexico. You know, I'm there. I'm in Santa Fe. I'm a city boy. I'm now on a ranch in the middle of nowhere. And I'm with a man that I don't know. I'm with a family that I don't know. And I was like, all right, God, like, I need you in this moment. I need you in this time. And man, first, one of the big things that happened right away was God and my relationship grew tremendously. When I was obedient to what he was calling me to do, I felt like I went to a whole nother level in relationship with the Lord. I felt his presence with me all the time. You know, he was there for me in this season where I definitely needed him to be there. I want to share three things with you that what I learned as a father, as a son, three things that I learned while I was in New Mexico, and I learned from my dad. The first is that my family is not the sacrifice. You know, one of the things I thought was the coolest things that I saw happen with my dad was I saw the way that he treated my brothers and my sisters. You know, he was completely involved in their life. And I was shocked by that because not having my dad in my life was hurtful. Like, I just, it hurt. But seeing him being there for my siblings kind of brought healing to me and saying, like, man, like, there has been a change in his life. And I was stoked about it. I was really excited about it. You know, in Hosea 6:6, it says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And the Lord is saying, man, I want to have a relationship with you more than what you sacrifice for me. And I don't know, I kind of take that verse and I kind of look at that as a family life. I look at that as my family life. Man, more than just sacrificing for my kids, working extra hours, volunteering. You know, my kids need to know me. They need to spend time with me. You know, when I was even preparing for this message, I was sitting on my couch, like just kind of preparing. My son Emery, he's screaming, he's like looking at me, and I could just tell he wants to hang out. And I literally was like, you know what? I could do this later. Let me just hang out with my son. You know, I put him on this little push cart, and we just went out for a walk, and we just had a blast. And you know what? 20 years from now, he might not remember that, but I remember it. You know, and I remember, like, I try to spend as much time with my family, and that's something that I learned from my dad, and that's huge because I don't think. You know, and where I was at in my season before moving with my dad, I was learning, like, man, you got to work hard all the time. You got to put your family second, and you got to put other things first. You got to put your work, you got to put church first. And it was this weird thing that I was getting involved in, but the Lord was kind of reversing that thought process for me. And I saw it in my dad where, man, put my family first. You know, they're not the sacrifice. And number two, man, always honor my father. You know, that is something that I learned when I lived with him. You know, the second commandment in the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother. You know, it doesn't say honor your father, your mother, unless they did this to you or and stuff. But it says always honor your mother and father. And that was something that was really huge for me. You know, because I had to learn how I talked to about my dad again. You know, when I was younger, people would ask me about my dad, and I would say things that were just not okay. And as I get older, I was like, you know what, man, like, I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to say that, you know, because I want to honor my dad. You know, I want to give a good light to my dad. Yeah, there's been mistakes made on his part, and there's been things that have happened in his life. But at the same time, I still want to honor my dad. And while I was living in New Mexico, that really hit me hard. That was a challenge that had to come to my life. Because here's this guy who I'm on a ranch with. And this man, my dad, who I never had a relationship with, is now telling me what to do. He's telling me how to work with horses, how to mend the land. And I'm like, dude, leave me alone. And I remember thinking to myself, like, all right, I need to get over this attitude, and I need to really hear my dad out. And so when I heard my dad out, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to make a decision to honor him. I'm going to be obedient to him. You know, even though he wasn't there for me, I'm going to put all that aside. And I'm going to honor my father and what he asked me to do. And when I did that, I saw some awesome things. When I honored my dad, I saw that the walls of fear were breaking down in our relationship. That every time I honored him, every time I was obedient, that this, like, thing that we had, this wall that we had between us, a fear of, like, getting to know each other, started kind of coming down, and until it was gone. And I also realized honoring him helped bring honesty to our relationship. You know, the more that I honored him, the more that I trusted him, the more that I was able to listen to him when he was telling me to do something, even at 24 years old when I was already a man, I was already living on my own most of my life. I had moved out of my mom's place at a young age, and I thought I had already figured things out. But when I moved back in my dad and I submitted to his authority at that time, you know, and I honored it, it brought honesty into our relationship. And we were able to be honest with each other. And I saw something in him. I saw healing in him with me honoring him. He was like, man, like, I could, he even said to me, like, I don't deserve the way that you were treating me right now because I didn't treat you good. And I remember telling my dad, like, hey, you're my father, no matter what. And you know what? I'm going to honor you because you're my dad. And so there was, we saw a tremendous healing in that, with that. Number three, walking in forgiveness is hard, but it's worth it. You know, Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, I kind of mentioned earlier that earlier in my 20s, I thought I had forgiven my dad. I thought that I was good. I thought everything was okay. He was going to do his thing. I was going to do my thing. He was moving to New Mexico. I'm staying in California. And you know what? You're good, man. We're good. Nothing. We're A-okay. And then I realized when I moved in with him that I hadn't fully forgiven him. That actually, you know what? It was okay for me to be upset about my childhood and some of the things I went through. But it wasn't okay for me to hold on to that. And it wasn't okay for me not to forgive him. And man, every morning I had to wake up and say, okay, my dad is a new person. I'm going to forgive him. I'm not going to lie. Even I mentioned just mentioned it. You know, seeing my dad treat his other kids amazingly, that actually hurt me as well. Even though I saw some like awesome things in it, it hurt me too because I was like, whoa, why couldn't you treat me that way? You know, why couldn't you be there for me? And it hurt me. But at the same time, I realized, man, I can't allow that to affect how I feel about my dad now and how I treat my dad. And I need to forgive him every single day. And once that happened, it just brought so much freedom into my life. You know, forgiving my father and walking in that brought tremendous freedom in my life. And so I hope those three things can encourage you guys. I hope that, you know, if you're a dad out there, I hope that you get to spend as much time with your family as you can. And that, yeah, work and all that stuff's important, but your family is the most important thing. You know, I encourage everyone to honor their parents. You know, you will see tremendous blessing in your life when you do that. And, you know, also just walking in forgiveness. It's worth it. It's hard, but it's worth it. You'll see tremendous freedom in your life when you do that. Just to kind of share now where my dad and I are at now. Man, my dad and I were super close. Man, it's awesome. I didn't think, now that I'm 32 years old, I didn't think I would ever have a relationship with my dad. You know, when I got married, my dad was there. My dad helped pay for the wedding. You know, I never thought that would happen. I thought when I got married, I might invite him. I might send him an invitation. He might show up. But the fact that my dad was there and that my dad even helped pay for my wedding was awesome and a huge blessing, you know. And at the wedding, my dad got up and kind of gave a speech. And he even admitted to not being there in my life, but that he was so thankful for the people in the church and for other people that were there for my life. And I was like, whoa, like, that was the first time I had really heard him recognize that he wasn't there, but that he felt bad for it, but that also that he was thankful that other Christian men were there for me. And so that was awesome to hear him say it. That was awesome to just to be like on my wedding day, like, whoa. And you know, I was just really excited for this relationship that my dad and I were growing into this. And so now, you know, it's crazy. My dad is a grandpa. You know, my dad FaceTimes me all the time. It's kind of annoying. He wants to see his grandkids, his grandkid, and he's excited for the next one coming. And he's FaceTiming me, and he's like, oh, how are things going? You know, he's sending me gifts. He's doing all these things, and it's just awesome. I'm so excited that my dad gets to be a grandpa. I'm so excited that my dad and I have that relationship and that he's going to know my kids. You know, we went from... you know, the story, our story started off not good, but I can guarantee you that our story is going to end off good. I'm going to guarantee you that this, our story is going to end off with, my kids knowing my dad, because you know what, I'm going to continue to be obedient and listen to the Lord, and the Lord's calling me to be a good son. And so I hope that encourages, some of the fathers and sons out there, and, you know, even the mothers and daughters, that, the Lord's calling us to be good kids and the good fathers. And I just hope that encourages you. we're going to be, that's kind of my story. We're going to be ending it with some questions on the screen. So go ahead, grab a cup of coffee, and just some of the questions that are going to pop up on the screen. I hope that you guys can dive into about just fatherhood and everything. All right. Love you guys. Love you, Bridge family. See you soon. Bye.